Welcome to 40A&M in 5, a download of 40A&M LLC, recorded at 2200 Eastern on Sunday, June 2nd. I'm Chris Bohm with a selection of tech sector and related global news and policy highlights from the past week. In this edition, Liberty Reserve Financial is the subject of a multi-country raid on suspected money laundering charges. The proposed acquisition of Sprint by the Japanese firm SoftBank overcomes a significant hurdle. Texas is poised to become the first U.S. state to require warrants for law enforcement access to electronic communications. Facebook bows to pressure regarding the posting of hate speech and related offensive content. And legislation aimed at addressing patent troll lawsuits advances on multiple fronts. But first, in releasing its biannual Economic Outlook report on Wednesday, May 29th, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, Secretary General Angel Gurria, said that the global economy is gradually gaining momentum, but the recovery is fragile, extremely uneven across several regions, and could be derailed by a further crisis, perhaps in the Eurozone area. The OECD's report notes that it expects the economy of the Eurozone to shrink by 0.6% this year. With slow growth, high unemployment, and limited room to maneuver on issues of macroeconomic policy, structural reforms are the short-run remedy to spur growth and boost confidence, according to the OECD. The OECD represents 34 advanced economies, and its most recent report forecasts average growth across its members of 1.2% this year, in the wake of a contraction that it had forecast just 6 months ago. The crisis in the Eurozone remains the single biggest downside risk facing the global outlook, added OECD Chief Economist Pier Carlo Padoan. Recovery in healthier economies is welcome, but not strong enough to offset or flag negative growth elsewhere in Europe. European area GDP is expected to contract by 0.1% in 2013. The forecast for the UK by the OECD was revised down to 0.8% growth this year, and 1.5% in 2014. While cutting the UK's growth forecast, the OECD said that the UK government's austerity plans had affected growth, but said that the measures were necessary and warned that further fiscal consolidation was needed. Japan, in the report, is forecast to grow relatively strongly this year, adding 1.6% to its GDP on the back of extraordinary economic stimulus measures introduced by the government this past year. In Japan, GDP is expected to expand by roughly 2% in 2012 and 1.5% in 2013. In the U.S., where the OECD reports growth of nearly 2% forecast for this year, the OECD said that quantitative easing measures might need to be gradually reduced. The press conference releasing the Economic Outlook reports is available in its entirety on the OECD website, www.oecd.org. On the same day, the European Commission announced that it will allow some EU member states to slow the pace of austerity cuts amid concerns over growth. The measures came as part of the European Commission's country-specific recommendations, which were also released on Wednesday, May 29th. France, Spain, Poland, the Netherlands, and Slovenia are all being given more time to complete their austerity plans. Spain, Poland, and Slovenia will get 2 more years to bring down budget deficits through spending cuts and tax increases. The Commission's report sections on the UK recommend action on the housing supply and rental markets, more affordable and better quality childcare, and improving youth training and transport spending. France will get 2 more years to bring its budget deficit below 3% of GDP, and figures released by the OECD seconded that France had entered its second recession in 4 years after the economy shrank by 0.2% in the first 3 months of 2013. Giving more time for certain member states to meet their agreed objectives is designed to enable them to accelerate efforts to put their public finances into order and carry out overdue reforms, according to the Commission's release statement on its report. In the Economic Outlook, the OECD suggested additional measures that leaders of the Eurozone might also consider, including comprehensive structural reforms in areas such as education, innovation, competition, and green growth, further enhancing the firewall to prevent contagion of the Eurozone financial crisis into other member states, and also making better use of the European Central Bank's balance sheets. Raids were conducted last weekend in 17 countries, including the US, Spain, and Costa Rica, among others, against Liberty Reserve, their owners, operators, and computer hardware in what the U.S. Department of Justice has said is the largest international money laundering prosecution in history. The raids led to the arrest of five Liberty Reserve principals, including founder Arthur Budovsky. In addition, 45 bank accounts used by the service were seized, and actions have been taken to seize the assets of 35 other sites that fed funds to Liberty Reserve for laundering. Some details about the scale of the Liberty Reserve operation reportedly came to light in court documents unsealed by the New York office of the U.S. Department of Justice, which is leading the action against the service. Liberty operators will face charges of money laundering and operation of an unlicensed funds distribution network. The digital money laundering scheme, according to the Department of Justice, handled approximately $6 billion in the 7 years it was in operation. And according to the BBC, the shutdown of Liberty in the wake of last weekend's raids has caused problems for numerous legitimate users of Liberty's transactional service as well. In an update to a story we did last week on the planned acquisition of Sprint by the Japanese mobile carrier SoftBank, both parties released a joint statement last week that they have received notice from the U.S. Committee on Foreign Investment, or CFIUS, that it had completed a review of the proposed deal and have found no unresolved issues. CFIUS is an interagency committee and includes representatives from the U.S. Department of Justice and Department of Homeland Security. Sprint and SoftBank now expect both Justice and Homeland Security to notify the Federal Communications Commission that the CFIUS National Security Review of the transaction is complete, which would remove a potential bar to the FCC's own public interest review of the transaction from proceeding. Although SoftBank agreed in October to purchase a 70% stake in Sprint for $20.1 billion U.S. dollars, a second bid from U.S.-based satellite concern Dish Network is also outstanding. The state of Texas is poised to become the first state in the U.S. to require law enforcement officers to get search warrants based upon probable cause before they can access any electronic communications and customer data stored by a third-party service provider. Last Tuesday, May 28th, the Texas legislature passed Bill HB 2268, which is now before Governor Rick Perry for signature. Governor Perry has until June 16th to sign or veto the legislation, and if he does neither, it will pass automatically and take effect on September 1 of this year. The law would be the first in the nation to address what many, including some federal courts, say are insurmountable shortcomings of the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, or ECPA, which was drafted at the federal level in 1986. Concerns over warrantless email searches by law enforcement have prompted sweeping calls at both the state and federal level for ECPA reforms. In addition, one particular U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals decision, U.S. v. Warshak, has created a split among other U.S. circuits that has yet to be taken up by the Supreme Court. The Texas measure would require a warrant for all enforcement access to stored electronic data, regardless of how long it has been stored, who has been storing it, or how it is being stored. All applications for warrants would require both probable cause and be supported by the oath of the officer making the request. In most cases, companies served with such warrants would be required to comply within 10 days. And in some instances, a judge could require compliance in a little less 4 days if police are able to prove that a delay would jeopardize an investigation, put someone's life at risk, or let someone escape prosecution. The Texas law would only apply to state investigations, not federal investigations, which will still be governed by ECPA requirements. In California, a similar bill, SB 467, passed the California Senate by a vote of 33-1 and is now awaiting action in the Assembly. In addition, ECPA reform has been steadily moving through Congress, with interested parties as varied as Google and the U.S. Department of Justice now backing a warrant requirement. On Tuesday, May 28th, Facebook bowed to public pressure on multiple fronts, saying that it would update its policies on hate speech, increase accountability of content creators, and train staff to be more responsive to complaints. "We need to do better, and we will," Facebook said in a statement. The company said that it would begin rolling out changes immediately after it became clear, as it had said, that our systems to identify and remove hate speech have failed to work as effectively as we would like. "We prohibit content deemed to be directly harmful, but allow content that is offensive or controversial." In recent days, however, it had become clear to the company that it had miscalculated on this balance. Marty Levin, Facebook Vice President for Global Public Policy, added that in some cases, content was not being removed as quickly as we would want. At the beginning of May, Facebook had reversed the decision not to remove a video which showed a man being beheaded, as it did not break the company's social network policy. Facebook added that they have been working over the past several months to improve their systems to respond to reports of violations, but the guidelines used by these systems have failed to capture all of the content that violates their standards. Facebook added that it plans to consult with lawyers and interest groups on the upgrade of its content policy guidelines on removing hate speech. In addition, the training of staff will also be stepped up. A key driver for the switch, as reported by the BBC, may be the discomfort increasing among some key advertisers looking to protect themselves from having their brand appear alongside inappropriate content. According to a BBC report, reporting on their discussions with Women Action in the Media, a women's rights campaign organization, Nissan and Dove are among those brands said to be working aggressively with Facebook in attempt to solve similar concerns. On Wednesday, May 29th, Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, introduced what is at least the fourth piece of significant draft federal legislation this term designed to crack down on abusive patent litigation in the U.S. As reported last week by The Hill newspaper in announcing the Cornyn legislation, many tech companies continue to complain in the U.S. of threats of lawsuits by firms that have no plans to create any products. These companies, often called patent trolls, purchase cheap patents, find companies using similar technologies, and then threaten to bring court action for infringement in order to force an expensive settlement rather than costly litigation. This and other pieces of draft legislation seek to stem the tide of such suits because of a growing concern that the costs of vexatious litigation direct resources away from research, development, wages, and growth. Many, including Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat of New York, who has also introduced draft legislation, the Patent Quality Improvement Act, have emphasized that such troll suits are a significant draw on innovation in the U.S., particularly forcing smaller companies to forego advancing new technologies or developments in order to prepare for potential litigation. In addition to this most recent proposal, the SHIELD Act, which is a bill co-sponsored by Congressman Peter DeFazio, Democrat of Oregon, and Jason Chaffetz, Republican of Utah, would require plaintiffs to pay for a defendant's attorney fees and other legal costs if their patent lawsuit fails in court. Both bills were the subject of significant discussion at a panel on the global intellectual property landscape on May 9th, held by the Hogan Lovells Law Firm in Washington, D.C., as part of its Winnick International Telecoms and Internet Forum. In particular, the concept of fee shifting to the loser in a patent infringement suit as a methodology to discourage patent troll cases was a significant focus of discussion, most recently at a panel of experts convened by the Congressional Internet Caucus in a debate forum hosted last week in Capitol Hill on patent litigation. The audio of this debate has been posted to the Congressional Internet Caucus site. While many are focusing on the debate over merits of each of these pieces of draft federal legislation, the state of Vermont quietly moved during the third week in May to enact the first in the nation law to target patent trolling. Vermont's law, H-299, which will be codified at 9 VSA 4195 to 4199, is entitled the Bad Faith Assertions of Patent Infringements. The legislation enumerates a set of factors to help judges distinguish legitimate from illegitimate patent claims. Eric Goldman, writing on May 22nd as a contributor to Forbes magazine's Tech Online, believes Vermont's approach to be promising. However, the creation of multi-factor tests to determine the quality of intellectual property claims in high-tech areas does not often remain a helpful long-term approach. Mr. Goldman cited the 1999 Anti-Cybersquatting Consumer Protection Act as one example. While the law effectively quashed cybersquatting practices in the near term, according to Forbes, domain name squatters quickly adapted their approaches in a way to avoid the law. Mr. Goldman finds the Vermont approach unique in that it creates a threats action, or a cause of action that the recipient of a patent suit can bring against the asserter for wrongfully asserting legal rights. Although these types of actions, which give the recipient of a potentially frivolous suit immediate counteraction, are uncommon in the U.S., they are common in the U.K. and other Commonwealth countries, according to Mr. Goldman. It remains to be seen whether Vermont ultimately has the legal authority to regulate patent activities, which have historically and constitutionally been the domain of federal law in the U.S. However, with significant and innovative legislation advancing both at the federal and state levels, there is little doubt that there will be a coming legislative crackdown on patent trolling in the U.S. You have been listening to 40A&M in 5, a production of 40A&M LLC. For more information, visit 40a-m.com. All stories for this week's podcast were reported by at least two online or print news sources, or taken directly from relevant releases, with the exception of specific reporting highlighted from Forbes Tech Online, the BBC, and the Hill newspaper. We will be back on Monday, June 9th. Until then, make this week one to remember, and bye for now.